This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. They offer just about every battery under the sun, from car and truck batteries to batteries for your trail cameras and rangefinders. Select retail locations even offer cell phone repair and cracked screen repair. Find a local retail location at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
You're listening to South Dakota Unlimited, the podcast for the average South Dakota sportsman, where we talk everything outdoors, hunting, fishing, trapping, conservation, and anything else that impacts you as a sportsman in the 605. Hosted by CJ Peters. Now let's get started.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you all are stoked as I am for this warmer weather and for it finally to start feeling like spring. I hope you're getting out there, enjoying it. Fishing, shooting your bow, hiking, shooting your rifle, throwing up a hammock and reading, get to your garden, get it planted. It's a lot of fun, by the way. I just got mine a couple weeks ago. I don't care what you're doing. Just get out there and enjoy it. It's an awesome time of year. Super excited for this warmer weather to finally kick in where we can get outside and not freeze our butts off for once. But I don't know about you, but one of the things I love to see every year is the new life, especially all the little ducklings and the goslings that come in about this time every year. If you saw my Instagram post from last week, I saw a ton in one of the parks here in Sioux Falls. It's just a lot of fun to see every year. They're just funny to watch. Anyway, enough of my rambling. On today's podcast, I have Mr. Jordan Miller from Run to Gun TV and Seeker Supplements here in South Dakota. It's pretty much just a straight up BS session, and we talk a ton of different stuff from run to gun, physical and mental fitness, which he's a personal trainer, so makes total sense. Mule deer, elk, and whatever came across our minds, really. He is incredibly enthusiastic and super passionate about what he does, and it's just really contagious. So if you're not prepared to go run a mile after this, maybe don't listen, but I would highly recommend listening still, because it is it does encourage you a little bit. So go check him out on his social, Run to Gun. His handles are in the show notes down below if you can't remember that. Once again, before we get started, thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it. Please do me a favor. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. Shoot me a message and let me know what you think, good or bad. I don't care. I'll take it. I've got thick skin. And let me know what you want to hear. Enough of that. Let's get to it. And here is Mr. Jordan Miller. Hey, Jordan. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for connecting. I really appreciate you setting aside the time to do this with me today.
Absolutely, CJ. I'm pumped to meet you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start off real generic. Let's tell everybody who you are and what you do for a living.
Absolutely, man. My name is Jordan Miller. I am the owner of Run 2 Gun Hunting Athletics, as well as Seeker Supplements here in South Dakota, man. We've been rocking since, I think I started Run 2 Gun back in 2011. I was working on that concept of the business. I think we launched it in late 2012. So yeah, we've been at it for a lot of years, man. And we originally started just to train the hunters and outdoorsmen for big hunts, outdoor adventures, and things like that. With that in mind, and we just, it kept falling and branching into new things. And so we fell into a TV show opportunity in 2013 by accident. And then, yeah, I've been doing that. We just launched that for eight. I know we've been, it's crazy because it really was like, I did not have the goal in mind to do that. And how that happened was we were filming a promo video for my website for Run2Gun, and a buddy was filming it. I was doing some trade work because I mean, I was just out of college. I had no money and I was personal training, making no money. So I was just like trying to build a business, you know? And so we filmed this promo video and he's like, dude, this was making such a sweet TV show. And he had a connection with Midco Sports Network here in town. And he got me in a meeting in a conference room a week later. And I just like literally I didn't have a minute of film. I just pitched an idea and a vision that I had that really wasn't even my vision at first. I mean, it was my buddy saying how it would be a cool TV show, and just kind of pitched the vision that we had thought up of. And they were like, yeah, this was like in August. And they're like, oh yeah, this would be sweet. Like, can you have a full season to us? Can you have a full season to us? Like come like January 1st, which a full season's 13 episodes. And I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. You know, I'm like 23 years old. And I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. I walk out of that network and I'm like walking out to my car and I'm like, what did I just get myself into? I don't even own a video camera. You know what I mean? Like, so I had no idea what I was doing, man. But I say that because I really want to like use that as encouragement for anybody else out there that is, you know, they feel the same way. You don't always know what you're doing when you start something, and that's okay. Nobody knows what they're doing. Like literally nobody knows what they're doing when they're starting something, yep. But you figure it out as you go. And you just got to work hard and figure it out and not be afraid to just make mistakes and fail and then fix them. You know what I mean? And that's totally cool. So we've been doing that we had season 8 this year. And then we joked around that same year as we were building with another buddy, we're building as a sales deck to sell sponsorship ads and stuff like that for the mm-hmm. TV show. And we're talking about just like the power of like what this brand could adjust into, because I mean, if you look back to 2011, there wasn't a fad of hunting and fitness back then. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't, I mean, it's very much a thing now. It's common, which is awesome. But it wasn't when we started this. We were like one of the original people to get this going. And I'm not saying we started that fad. It just wasn't a fad when I was doing this. So we were talking about that power, that brand, all the opportunities. And we joked around about how like, yeah, I hope we can make our own supplement someday, like and really just like make that whole brand. And kind of had that in the back of my mind for all those years. And then in 2019, we finally felt like, hey, you know what? I think we have the brand power to do this. Let's risk it and go for it. And we started Seeker Supplements, which is just a sister brand to Run2Gun. So we have Seeker Supplements and then we have our Run2Gun line of products. And we started off with just one product. I wanted to just solve a problem, man. I wanted to have a substitute for people to not drink a Red Bull or a Rockstar or a Bang mm-hmm. every single day that's loaded with a massive amount of caffeine. And you have one and you should really only have one. But I say this admittedly, working long hours as a personal trainer, early morning, late nights, you go to the gas station. They always have the buy one, get one deals. Or buy two, get one deals. Yep. And so you would buy two or three with the intention of only having one that day. And you'd always end up having two or the three. And so you're massively like coked out on caffeine. and it's not good for you, man. Like, and so I made our first product just called Seeker to really substitute that with a lower amount of caffeine and then a higher amount of nootropics, brain food that help us really focus. And so you could drink it multiple times in a day, because it wasn't so loaded in such a high amount of caffeine. So something you could have multiple times. And so I really made that product selfishly for myself to solve a problem that I was having. And then here we are, not even 2 years later. I can't believe it. I think we've I just launched another product this week. I think we have like 15 or 16 different products now.
Holy cow.
All from multiple flavors of that original product to amino acid blends, to three different flavors of protein, to a drinkable multivitamin, two different flavors of a stimulant-free pre-workout, and a lot of stuff coming down the line, man. So I'm really excited about it. And it's because of the support from everybody, man. Like, we've had such a great rallying support, who want to support local, who want to support products that are made in the USA. And it's been really cool to just feel the love, man, from that. So
that's awesome, man. I just love how it rolls into something else. And as long as you're passionate about it, which you obviously are, that's very apparent just in the intro here, and doors just open. So let's, and I can definitely rate do having no idea what you're doing, because that's how I feel right now. So
yeah, it's okay. That way. Absolutely, man. That's awesome.
I'm having fun doing it. And everybody listening, I appreciate you listening and going along with me on that. But let's take a step back. So you're fresh out of college. Where'd you go to college at, by the way?
I was at Dakota Wesleyan in Mitchell, South Dakota, from 07 to 11.
Awesome. Awesome. I do like the Mitchell area.
Yeah.
But so let's talk about how did you start? So you went to school for personal training?
Yeah, sports, exercise, and wellness. Sports, exercise. I guess the technical term.
Yeah.
So yeah, with I don't even know if I had the goal to necessarily be a personal trainer. When I was working, I played college basketball, ran college track. So in high school, I didn't see past college. I didn't see past any of that, because all I was wanting to do was be a pro athlete in some level, some way, right?
Yep.
Be paid to use a physical ability. And so I didn't really ever look past. I didn't know I wanted to do anything besides that. But I was working down in Las Vegas with great impact on me on that. And so I thought it was really cool. And I was like, I could totally do this. And so I kind of had that mindset of, that's how I found out what I wanted to major in. It was kind of the first time in my life I looked past like a sport or something to do. But I still didn't know, even going through, that I was going to be a personal trainer per se. I didn't know that that was the route, or if you were going to train athletes at a high school level or college level or pro level. Doors were open. There's a lot of cool opportunities. I mean, cardiac rehab school. I mean, there's so much stuff. So I didn't really know, to be honest with you. And then it just happened so that there was, after leaving Mitchell, there was just a job opening at a gym in Sioux Falls for personal trainer. And my wife had got a job that was out in the Del Rapids area. And so I was like, I'll throw in for it. And it just kind of just fell into it, man. Like you said, a door opened right there. And that's how I got started.
Awesome. So how'd you take that passion and combine it with, bringing it to the hunting and fishing industry? Because I mean, like you said, at that time, it wasn't a fad. Now it definitely is. Because you think of like Dan Staten from Elk Shape.
Sure.
He's huge into fitness and all well-being in general. So how did you decide to combine those things?
Yeah, man. So it was actually like really simple. As I was graduating, in 2011, I knew after I got the job as a personal trainer, that's when it really started to click for me. Because I grew up out in Western South Dakota, Central and Western South Dakota. And so all I did was I was in the gym shooting hoops, lifting weights, or out hunting. So those were like, that was my life. And I had a dad that really mentored me into hunting, which was amazing. And then I had a grandpa and great uncles that were very much into Second Amendment, shooting sports, hunting, all of that. And so I would go to their cabins, out in the Black Hills, and you would see their elk. Some of the guys have the first tags in Custer State Park for elk, some of the first bighorn sheep tags that were issued in South Dakota, these guys had. And so, and mountain goat ticks. So they had mountain goat mounts, they have sheep mounts, they have elk mounts, I mean, giant mule deer. And so it was very much like really cool to me and aspirational to me to see that. And so as I was getting older, obviously they were too. You know what I mean? And like my great uncle, my grandpa had like 35 years preference points in Custer. And he, when I was looking forward to it, because I was getting to the point where I was out of college, I was going to be able to go do some of these hunts with them a little bit more. And they stopped applying for some of these big hunts that they were starting to be due to draw, what I mean? Or draw a second Black Hills elk tag and things like that. And they were due to draw, and I was really looking forward to doing that. And they did, but they didn't feel physically capable to go execute on that hunt. And so for me, it started to click like, well, I want to prolong people's hunting careers. You know what I mean? So they have the opportunity to hunt with their grandchildren. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I took, you know, my experience of something that happened to me that I didn't like. Like, I wanted to go hunting with these guys and I didn't get to. And so, you know, to solve a problem was the first goal. And that's how, you know, the concept of Run 2 Gun got started.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so then as you came from going to the gym, how did you start promoting that? Did you start working with people in hunting, or how did that come about where you started working with people in the outdoors?
Yeah. And honestly, a big majority of my clients were just everyday people. You know what I mean? Like, and still are a big, massive majority of my clients are people who want to be challenged. They want to level up their life. They want to live healthier. They want to be around longer. And then obviously, like, I have a certain amount of number of people that come to me specifically for hunting. But that always, the commonality between that is it always starts off with the goal of getting ready for a hunt, and they always stay after because they understand the big picture of what health truly is and how it's not just for prepping for 2 months or 3 months before a hunt. It's that carryover on, hey, if I can just be healthier, I never have to go through this hard training phase of 2 months again, because I need to be doing this all the time. And then I can really ramp it up and kick it in a gear as I'm getting closer to a hunt again. You know what I mean? As we periodize our training, we can just be healthier all the time and be in shape all the time. And then when mm-hmm. something big comes up, you know, you can adjust that training to perform at a higher level for a short period of time, like a 7 day or 10 day hunt. So, it was from the promotion side of things. Honestly, it was just like getting out there. It was getting in front of people. Luckily at the gym I was at, it was busy. So it was getting out there in front of people. I didn't make a whole lot of sales in that first year. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? The TV show definitely helped me after I got into that portion, just because I was getting publicity from that standpoint, but nobody knew who I was. It wasn't like mm-hmm. I got a TV show because I was somebody. I got a TV show just because I walked in there and pitched a vision and they needed content. Oh, this guy's going to make content for me and we're not going to pay him anything. Like, perfect. Like, they were getting the good end of the deal, right? I was right. Having put in all the work in order to create this content, but I saw the reward obviously as building brand. And so I was willing to take that risk of less sleep, more work to build something. And so, yeah, that was the case. And honestly, it was a case of like, I don't see myself as anybody still in that sense of, you know, somebody that's looked at as of importance of an icon in a hunting industry or something like that. But in the sense of, if you're just wanting to build a brand in something, like, you're always able to do so by just putting in work and putting in the self-promotion of your brand. Like, you just have to continue, like, what you're doing is you're building content. Like, you're taking the time out of your day to schedule somebody, to reach out to somebody, to go out on a limb, to get somebody to come talk to you, right? To build that content. And then you're putting that content out there for people to view. That's entertainment value. You know what I mean? You're doing the exact same thing right now. You're putting out entertainment value because people like entertainment. That's valuable.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, you know, we always talk about, you know, we need to be adding value into people's lives with our content. And we can tend to feel like sometimes, like, I'm just putting this out. It's not like I didn't really say anything that important. Well, you don't always have to say the most like groundbreaking thing. There's not very many new statements ever said anymore, right? Like, most things have been said. Yep. You know what I mean? Most thoughts have been thought. And so we just need to remember sometimes when we're not feeling that, like, I'm not good enough feeling, or, you know, I've had so many people that are already doing a certain thing. Like, if it's your calling, if it's what you're being called into, you know what I mean? It's very important that we act on that calling. And that we put in that work, because we can't just sit back and be like, well, it's my calling, so I hope it's going to happen. Well, right. No, we have to meet God halfway and really take our action steps in order to get there, right? And to make progress in our own lives. And it can definitely happen. So it's just, you know, it's just continual work. And I'd be lying, you know, if I said I didn't want to quit. You know, I'm doing this since 2011, 12. Here's 2021. You know, we're almost 10 years into this. And man, I've had a ton of days where it seemed a lot easier to quit versus to continue on. Cause, you know, we always have that self-doubt and that question of like, is mm-hmm. this really worth it? Like, okay, that YouTube video got 82 views. Like, good job, Jordan. You know what I mean? But that's a lie in our ear, right? Oh, that's trying to discourage us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. So it's just having that self-awareness and learning that, going through that, and to not just beating yourself up over some of these dumb vanity matrix, mm-hmm. you know? So
going back to working with people who are looking to get into their hunts, what do you think? Well, I have a couple questions here.
Yeah.
We'll start off with this first one here. What do you think the hardest thing is for them to overcome? Is it the mental ability or the physical ability, or is it a strong mixture of both?
Dude, that's a really good question, and nobody's ever asked me that before. So solid question. I think it really starts with the physical ability, because I think everybody believes they're mentally tough.
Yeah,
and it's the physical ability that actually makes people realize that they're actually not mentally tough. So I think it actually really starts. I mean, obviously we have to be mentally strong, but mental strength is definitely built through physical despair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they definitely go together. So you're not going to be mental. You're not going to gain mental strength, mental fortitude, mental endurance, any of that without going through hardship, without going through pain, without going through that disparity, you know, that a freaking hard training and discipline to nutrition and that self-discipline, self-leadership brings. So it definitely, I think it definitely starts with people's they mostly come in with big time physical inabilities to perform because they're just out of shape. You know what I mean? Everybody's super stagnant. Mm-hmm. But it's also very empowering to them to when they start progressing very quickly, because most people do. You know what I mean? You get them moving a couple of days a week and eating just like slightly better, gains are fast because they haven't done anything for so long. Most people are, or when I say anything, it's not structured. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So when they see progress, anybody sees progress really fast. If somebody comes into me, they've been training hard on their own for 8 years. That progress is going to be a different type of speed. You know what I mean? Cause they're already a trained individual. And so the untrained coming in, you can see progress so fast, which builds a lot of momentum, and it starts to really snowball for them, which then when snowballing happens, momentum builds. What happens? Our confidence builds. And so when our confidence builds, our hope builds, right? And so everything starts to really snowball. And that's when like big time more action takes place. That's when people start. It turns into much more than just they're getting ready for that hunt. It turns into like life-changing things, right? They turn into better fathers and mothers, better coworkers. They start taking risks in their lives to chase dreams that maybe have been on their shoulders for a long time. So it's really cool to see that start with that physical inability going clear over to the other portion of their life.
Yeah, and it just flows over and everything, which is funny that we're actually talking about this now, because I don't know if you've ever heard of David Goggins.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude, he's crazy. I'm actually reading his book right now. I'm almost done with it. He's an animal, and that's an understatement. Yeah. And then actually, the Wired to Hunt podcast just from the day is about people not in this day and age, not suffering. And so that we don't have that mental toughness that's needed to carry on into everything. And that just affects everything.
Yeah. It fortifies everything, right?
Yeah, it really does. And so it's funny that we talk about that now, but
yeah, if you like Goggins, check out Chad Wright, on Instagram as well. Chad's a freaking animal. I prefer Chad. Nothing against anybody else. He's my dude. When he's an ultra marathoner, like as hard as it gets, like, I think ex special forces. And dude like has like an exponential love for Jesus, like, and just like all of those things combined, this dude's like one of the hardest dudes to walk the earth right now, I think. Like legit. Like if you like Goggins, you're gonna love this other dude. So check him out. Chad Wright's pretty legit.
I definitely will have to.
You'll be motivated.
But it's crazy just to think about like everything that these guys overcome, whether it's Chad Wright or David Goggins. And you know, Goggins talks about like the 40% rule, how you only use like 40% of your mental ability and your physical ability. But when you break that barrier in your mind, you can push that so much further than you ever think. Absolutely. And it's definitely true. We just don't push ourselves enough, which overflows into hunting. I mean, think about, you know, the guy who's a whitetail hunter, sits in a tree stand most of the time. Like that takes a certain level of physical fitness to be able to do that if you're going in, you know, a mile and then hanging a stand in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But going out west, man, that's just a whole different animal. So how do you specifically work with people like that who have whitetail hunted their whole lives, and then they come in and they're like, hey, I'm going on an elk hunt, elk, mule deer, whatever it is.
Yes.
In Colorado, I want to be able to get back and I want to get in that shape. I mean, that's a different level of fitness. Like it's a whole different platform.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to like the term is strength and conditioning, right? And I think that's a missed term. That's like a really simple term in the strength within the fitness world that correlates over to hunting and fitness so much. I've elk hunted with guys that are in way better, they could outrun me every day of the week. I've hunted with a guy that trained for a marathon all summer long, ran a marathon in in July and turned around and hunted elk in September with him. And dude couldn't stay with us on the mountain. Like, and he's in marathon shape, but he didn't incorporate the strength portion of strength and conditioning. And so they go very much hand in hand, and they're both very needed. And there's a reason why really good endurance runners also strength train. Their muscles still have to be strong, and they're not so big. You know, big and strong are two different things. They're not necessarily big, but they're very strong. So strength and conditioning need to go together. So our lungs have to be in shape, right? We need conditioning. And with that, though, we also need strength training. We need to be putting our muscles and our bodies under stress with dumbbells, with kettlebells, with barbells. Like, we need to be putting our muscles under stress, because when you're going out on that, you know, you're used to sitting in a tree stand, and all of a sudden you're putting on miles every day. You're potentially packing out an animal. It's not enough to be just strong in the lungs. Like, our legs need to be strong. Our core needs to be strong. Like, our posterior chain, our hamstrings, our back, all of those things need to be freaking strong. I think the weightlifting is missed a lot of times too. A lot of guys just like to get out and run. Like, I'm going to run trails. I'm going to hit out here. It's like, you're going to just hit Great Bear or whatever it is. And all great things. And you will always be better off by just doing that than not doing everything. So right. Not discouraging anybody from, if that is your only thing that you're going to be able to do, definitely go do it. But if you can incorporate weight training with it, or some sort of metabolic conditioning where you're doing both together, I mean, it's a peak performance. You can do both together and get in the 30-minute workout a day and absolutely crush the mountain. If your 30 minutes is of weights and conditioning together is hard, like, you can crush the mountain in 30 minutes a day, 4 or 5 days a week. I mean, absolutely. And then, like what we talked about, what that does is, when you do those two very hard and you get used to suffering, like, that builds a self-discipline. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, when you're out there, you're going to be mentally tougher than the other guys out there. And it takes, I've had the conversation, I've had the conversation with guys like, hey, how do I try to get a good mule deer? We were like, you've killed a lot of good mule deer. How are you? You know, well, I sit up on the side of a wind blown face with, you know, cold wind blowing in my face all day long for 6 days straight. You know, it's not fun. It's not comfortable, but that you have to sit on that side of taking the brunt of the weather, because the mule deer are coming on the opposite sides and bedding right out of the wind a mile away. Mm-hmm. And so you can't sit in the out of the wind spot, because the deer aren't going to be, you're not going to be looking at any deer bedding, because they're going to be on the in wind spot a mile away. And so what gets you to that point that you're willing to sit for 6 days in the cold and the wind in mid-November? You know what I mean? Like, what is it that gets you to do that? Well, you don't have to be in shape to sit there. We might have to get in shape to hike in, but I don't have to be in shape to sit there. But what you gain from suffering through physical fitness and self-discipline in how we are feeding our bodies 100% plays a role in my mental toughness when I'm sitting there and, well, I could just go home and be with my family right now. I could easily just go home, walk back to the truck and go back to the tent or the hotel room or whatever it is, wherever you're at. But you're there for a purpose, like, and it's a very short window of time. You took years to draw the tag. Like, make the most out of those 3 days, 2 days, 6 days, whatever it is, and suffer out there on the mountain too. Like, because you pre-suffered training for that moment to suffer again. And what do you think happens with that? Well, A, you're going to put yourself for an opportunity to maybe kill a good deer or a deer, or just be out there to hunt. And B, you're also fortifying more mental strength, right? Because you're suffering again. So we're suffering into suffering and just creating more mental strength. Like, and it sounds super silly to think like, oh, I'm suffering out on the side of the hill. It sounds silly, guys, but I guarantee you most of the guys probably listening, including myself, have had a day where you quit because you were cold and uncomfy, and it was way more fun to go get some warm coffee and a hot meal at the diner in town. Like, you know what I mean? When, hey, you could have been out there for, I don't know how many of these mule deer I've killed because I just was out there longer, sat out in the cold and paid attention, and finally there was a deer right there. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing it. So it comes down to our mental strength, man. And that comes down to training. Yeah. It comes down to self-discipline. So,
yeah. And that correlates, like, for the guy that who say doesn't necessarily want to go out west and hunt mule deer, hunt elk, but they're content just to stay here and hunt whitetail, which, I mean, if that's their thing and it makes them happy, absolutely. I totally understand that, because it's a ton of fun. that makes sense because, I mean, those full day sits, like this past November, I sat out in that that blizzard we had on like November 10th mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. That sucked, but
yeah,
you got to be mentally prepared to do that. And I froze my butt off so many days, but
yeah. And I mean, that goes the same thing as like, you still like, I think guys who train, who sit in a tree stand, definitely still have an advantage over guys who don't, because it does suck to sit in a tree stand all day. Hard to get excited about sitting all day. I mean, so there's a mental strength and fortitude that goes with that too.
Absolutely.
Western hunting, but you still need mental strength and endurance to get through a week of sitting in the cold during the rut in South Dakota, anywhere, you know? Well, so
no matter what type of hunting it is, you're going to suffer to some degree. I mean, waterfowl, man, I can't tell you how many days. Well, I also have a pair of leaking waders that are refused to replace. So like every duck hunt that I go on, I end up dumping out at 1 to 2 gallons of water.
And yeah, you need to get that changed.
Yeah, I do. I do. But it's just, I'm like, well, if I get a little wet, you just got to wait for the numbness to set in, then you're fine for the rest of the day.
Yeah, agreed. And you know what? I feel like I was taught, I did the youth waterfowl hunt up in Pier growing up when I was, you know, 12 and 13. And I remember a guy that year telling us, he's like, if you want to become a waterfowl, you better prepare to be wet, cold, and miserable all the time. And it's like, isn't that the truth? Like, it's most of the time with waterfowl hunting, I feel like you're cold or miserable or wet or all of the three. Like,
yeah,
but it's a fun thing though. It's pretty cool.
It's those days that pay off though. I mean, those freezing cold days and that weather sets in. Yeah. It definitely pays off.
For sure.
But so let's talk about your TV show a little bit. I mean, so you're doing your personal fitness like TV show. Is that also called Run to Gun?
It is Run to Gun TV. Simple as that, man. Airs on Midco Sports Network. So if you have Midco cable, it's like North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I think it touches a few other areas. They've grown a lot since we started with them. They've done a lot of big sports deals, which has grown their network dramatically. So we air with them. I think it's Sunday mornings at 10:30, and then Thursday nights, I think it's 10 or 10:30 after a lot of the Summit League games. We did air on like Dish Network and things like that for a few years, but honestly, our Midco Sports just outperformed it so well that we decided to just pull back and air on there. But everybody can catch everything on YouTube as well. And so we've started a couple years ago, we started just like dumping everything onto YouTube, and it's actually even better, I feel like, cause we have a lot of longer cut films now. So we'll cut down those films to fit in the 22 minute TV show, right? In your spot, but we have the longer versions, the full length versions on YouTube. And so even though you're getting, you know, the 22 minutes on Midco, like you could be missing half of that hunt that you could go view and see more of that hunt on YouTube. So I always feel like the YouTube thing is legit. You're getting all the extra content. And we have just a ton of other stuff that we throw up there all year long. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely the place to go. And same thing, Run to Gun is the YouTube channel. So
what can people expect when they go watch your show? I mean, like, what are you trying to express in your TV show? Is it like, you know, are you showing like the whole entirety of the hunt, whether you're successful or not, or what are you trying to represent when you air those shows?
Absolutely. I mean, I think just realness is probably like, if I was going to explain it in one word, is man, I'm not like pulling punches on myself. Like I show my misses, like, and I edit it myself and I throw it up and I'm like, well, cool. Like I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one. You know what I mean? Like,
because
you know, like the people aren't nice. Like there's a lot of people who are not nice. It's the internet. People are tough, right? When they're on a keyboard.
Yep.
So, like I don't pull punches on myself, man. I am who I am. I identify in who I am and who God made me. So I don't worry about that. I really want to show, you know, show realness and show myself and how I hunt, how I prepare for my hunts, who I am mentally, who I am spiritually on my show, and live that out. And that helps me with a very large accountability for myself, because when you put yourself out there at a level like that, if you're not who you are in real life compared to who you are on your social media, on your YouTube, you're going to get exposed. You know what I mean? Like you're going to get exposed really fast. And so I do train myself. I take pride in that. And I do train myself to really be who I am in that. And it can be a challenge sometimes, because we all deal with insecurities. You know, we all deal with putting ourselves out there like that. And I had to learn it. You know, you go back and watch season one. I mean, I'd laugh at myself. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know what I was doing yet. Like I was trying to look like other TV shows So we did like the post-cut interviews. We did all of that. And I was just like, this isn't what I like envisioned, but I have a different vision, but I don't know how to execute on it. And so we had to learn and figure that out and just figure and learn that, you know, I don't want this clean cut, like beautiful, like high end, I'm not even high end is the wrong term, but just like this beautiful cut show. Like I want it to be kind of dirty in the sense of like, this is what it is. Like, this is like, you can accomplish this as well. I think of it like a can of Red Bull. Like this sounds really silly, but I hope I can tie a bow on it. So you watch a Red Bull commercial, right? And like, everybody's like skydiving, doing backflips on motocross motorcycles, like in extreme sports, right? None of us do those things. Very few of us do those things, but we still go buy a Red Bull because it's aspirational, right? You feel like, you don't really realize it, but like, you feel good. Like, this is cool. Like, I have no reason to buy this drink because I don't do what the people who drink this stuff do. Like, I don't do backflips on my motorcycle. You know what I mean? I'm not jumping off of cliffs. Like, I'm not doing those things, but you know what I mean? It's an aspirational feeling when you do that. And so I wanted that same feeling with my TV show, with my supplements, to empower other guys. And I say men and women, but I'm not ashamed to say like really men specific, because I just feel like pulling men out of their comfort zones really causes deep change in families and relationships and marriages and communities, which is just going to cause massive change within our communities, within our states, and within our country. You know what I mean? And so I feel like if a little bit of what I can do by being myself and letting people know, like, and being proud of like, hey, this is who God made me, and I'm training to be the ultimate version of what God wants me to do, and his calling for me, and having the courage to step into that and not be afraid to talk about that, that it'll pull other men too, to be like, man, I've been having that same feeling for a long time, but I didn't really have that courage to do it. But like, I can reach out, and I can literally, like, you DM me out to be on this podcast. Like, it's as easy as that for men to DM me, and I get those DMs. And so I want to be that business and that guy that is real and that it's touchable. It's not something that's going to be missed. You know what I mean? And that I can walk along and beside other people, you know what I mean, on their journey too, and encourage that. And that's, I think, the one word with that is just like, encourage it, because that's what we all need. Sometimes we just need another dude to put our hand on our shoulder and be like, dude, you got this, man. Like, you're doing it. Like, you got it. Stick with it. And that's what we need. And that's the goal a little bit with that.
Yeah. And just, that's an awesome vision. I mean, because you watch the news these days, and it's really easy to get discouraged. And
yes,
yeah, but
it's easy to compare, especially what we do, man. It's easy to compare ourselves with people who've already been doing it for 2 years or for 10 years. But dude, they got started somewhere too. It doesn't matter if their journey was hard or easy. It's not our journey. It's not ours to look at. It's not ours to compare ourselves at. We all have our own individual journey. We're one of one, man. Like, we are individualized fingerprints. And so we have to remember that what we are going through, like, is very catered and specialized to us. And we need, instead of being discouraged by that, we need to be really encouraged by that. Like, this was made for me. This divine path was for me. And so I need to like take up my cross and be really pumped and rise to that challenge and be a warrior through it to grow myself. You know what I mean? And it's just awesome when we just flip that perspective a little bit and be very proud of where we're at and the journey that we're facing that's specific to us. Our action steps when we wake up every day can definitely change with that perspective change in our mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of playing the victim, like it's so common today. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself.
Dude, hours.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, let's just get into your hunting altogether. So you grew up with an awesome family hunter, sounds like. And, which is, you know, most common, I would say, probably, you know, I don't know, this is a shot in the dark, but 90 or 95% of people that hunt probably grew up with it.
I think so too. I think it's a high number. It's got to be a high number.
It's got to be. And so that's awesome that you were able to grow up in that. And so did that catch on really quick? I mean, did you just take to it like a fish to water?
Absolutely, man. Because my dad was going out, and my dad was doing archery, like, when archery wasn't that popular either, you know, like the old Fred bows with like no cams, like the tiny, you know what I mean? Like he, and that's bow I got started on because it was just hand me down, you know? So I always, like, when I wasn't going hunting yet, I was waiting at my doorstep for my dad to get home from his hunt. And that, you know what I mean? And to like see a goose that he shot or a deer or whatever it was. And then, you know, it got to be where he was taking me along on an antelope hunt or something. And, I remember we went to Manitoba when I was really little. He shot a black bear with his bow. That was awesome. And so just like those tag along things. And then and being in South Dakota, obviously I had so many opportunities. And so we were going up and we were, you know, we were waterfowl hunting. We would go out and hit up a small piece of public land after school quick and shoot a grouse or two, you know what I mean? Or shoot a pheasant. So like, it was just very natural for me, like absolutely loved it. Was a terrible shot, always a terrible shot, probably still am. So that part, yeah, but I absolutely loved it, man. Like it was very easy for me, but it was one of those things, like my dad knew it was important for us to be out, and like, and they're just, I think the time spent that he wanted to spend with me and my brother doing that was key for us. You know what I mean? So it was very natural. But I feel like, dude, as men, like that's a natural place for us to be. Like we're supposed to be in the outdoors. Like we're supposed to be hunting. We're supposed to be providing. That's in our DNA. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I really do think that. So.
Awesome. So then it just kind of was like a natural flow over that. You got your personal training and started this.
It was, dude. Yeah. It was just divine path, obviously, like through all that on how it all happened. But yeah, the hunting is just awesome, dude. Like how it starts with just, with, you know, more waterfowl, shooting rabbits, stuff like that. And then getting into now it's mainly big game hunting, you know, it's mule deer, elk. Those are the things that I love to do the most, mm-hmm. And have the opportunity to do that. So it's just, and it's cool how you grow. Like you start doing more of the Western hunting, you start backpacking and you start doing all those things. Like I wasn't doing that when I was younger, I was doing the normal, what we did. Like you walk around during deer season and try to put a stalk on a deer. You would sit in, like I had a lot of years where I did love whitetail hunting from a tree. Like that was, it was, I loved it. Like I loved putting in a food plot. I did that when I was in late high school or in college. Like it was a mm-hmm. fun thing for me. And then I just realized that I have way too much ADD to sit in a tree stand for very long. And I need to go, and I'd find myself climbing out of the tree all the time because I'd see some mule deer or whatever walking up on a side hill a mile and a half away. And I just go put a stalk on them. And so you find what you enjoy, you know what I mean? And you find like the hunt, we think of hunting right here. Well, then you narrow it down to all the other things in hunting, whether it be fishing or waterfowl or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just, you start narrowing it down, and I'll do all of it. I love all of it, but I really love some of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I really love mule deer hunting. Like, yeah. I don't care if it's a bow or a rifle. Like I want as many of those tags as I can get. So I'm not going to discriminate. Like people are like, oh, what do you do? Bow or rifle? And I'm like, give me bull. Like, cause guess what? The time rifle season rolls around, I'm sick and tired of my bow and I want to put that thing away. No, so I want as many tags as I can get for the opportunity to be out there longer. Because if I only did one, that means I'm only gonna get to hunt so much. And if I feel that tag, I'm finished. Yep. So like, give me both. I want as much opportunity to be outside, enjoying the outdoors as I can get. So
mule deer hunting is like your niche. Like that's your thing that you would own.
Definitely my thing, man. Like I have a passion for mule deer, and I can't tell you why. You fell into it. The challenge of it, it was a big monkey on my back for a lot of years. I don't know what it was. I had bad juju with a bow or something, but I missed shot. I missed shot after shot. This one right there, the high one.
Oh, yeah.
I actually missed that deer a couple years in a row. Two different times I shot over his back on public land. A couple different times I never thought I'd see him again. And the third year I was like, I give up. I actually got a new bow and, so I was like, I'm done with this bow. It's got to be the bow, right? Like, it's the bow's fault.
Always find something to blame.
I got a new bow set up. Man, I don't know. I was just like starting fresh. And I practiced way more than that summer I did. Like it's one of those things I shot every single day. I went down with that. And I actually went to New Mexico and they can't really see that bull. But this bull, I shot this bull on like the September 14th. I practiced and I was like, got really efficient with that bow. I was shooting 100 yards all summer long. And so I could be very efficient at 40. You know what I mean? So I was practicing all of that, got really efficient at like 90 and 100. So I could be efficient at 40 and 50, and ended up killing that bull at like 10 steps. So I came back to South Dakota and I went out hunting, and I told my brother who films all my stuff for me. And I'm like, well, I hope we see that mule deer again. I've missed the last 2 years. Like there's no way we're gonna though. And I pulled up my glass and I see this big frame mule deer working, and it was in a little different spot, probably a mile away or in an on a different spot. And I, lo and behold, it's this guy again. Can't believe he's still alive. And put a stock, waited for him to bed up, put a stock on him, got 48 yards, sat there for a few hours over him. And I finally stood and drilled him at the 48. He took like one step and tipped over. And it was just kind of like that, actually killing that deer was like a cooler moment than killing that elk the week before. Because it was just such this like years after years of like missing shots and like not getting stocks done. And I just felt like the work finally came in, like the monkey's off the back, and I felt so good. And ever since then, it's just been, like knock on wood. Ever since then, it's just been like, I feel like I got a system now. So it's just one of those things. Like, it's just like anything, like we have to practice, like we have to get in our reps, in order to become more efficient. And so, yeah, mule deer, man, I love being able to like hike in, cause you can still get in the hike. You can still, you know, get up on these points and glass and, watch deer. And like what I always tell people, like mule deer, it's, you know, I can find deer I want to shoot, you know, on a lot of days, but it doesn't mean I get to go stalk them, because they'll bed up in these spots that they're not, I call them like unkillable spots. Like, why waste the stock? Why blow the deer out of there if they're in a spot that you can't get within killing range anyway? And so a lot of times, like, this one right here, the, my velvet one that's right there. You know, like I saw him, like, for example, like day before, like we let him totally be, the next day came in there again, and he did bed up in a spot that was like, oh yeah, this deer's like, he doesn't know he's 45 minutes from being dead. You know what I mean? Like, he was in that much of a spot. So that's the cool thing I love about mule deer hunting. It's kind of like chess, where it's you got to wait for them to make the wrong move, and then you got to make the right move. And so it's cool. It's like, it's a back and forth thing where your patience plays into their mistakes or what they're doing. And I love that piece of it. And then you still got to make the right move. You got to test your skills of getting in close, not bumping them out, and then sometimes just outwaiting them to stand, not let, you know, hopefully the wind doesn't mess it up. There's just so many cool variables with that that I really enjoy the chess game with mule deer. So
how long did that take you to learn that lesson of just waiting till they get to a killable spot?
I think this one was 3 or 4 years ago, so I think it was that about 3 or 4 years ago when that really finally started to click. And the patience, I probably started getting a little bit of that old man patience. I got my late 20s, so I started to get a little bit of that late 20s old man. I got sick and tired of doing stocks and not killing stuff. And I remember going in on him, and the whole time, like, we hiked in on this, you know, we crawled in this like little knob, and I thought he was like in this cut. There's like a V and it was cut, and I crawled over here, and I could see the buck he was with bedded right there. And I figured he was behind him kind of off the tip, and I was going to continue going. And I was like, dude, no, like, you're already in here so close. And I just had to tell myself, like, dude, be patient, slow, slow, slow. And I backed out, went all the way back around that other side of the V. And then, yeah, he's right there at 48 bedded down. And then it's just like, you know, you want to just like stand and shoot him. Or then you sit there for like 15 minutes and your mind starts playing the game. Like, should I just throw a rock to get him to stand? Like, should I throw a rock over the top of him and get him to stand? Which it can work, but there's, you know, and it's finally, I'm like, no, like, organically let him, I'm already here. I'm within killing range. Like, just wait for him to stand. He doesn't know you're here. You're going to have all the time in the world to shoot. And finally, it was one of those things. I think we were there for an hour and a half, and every few minutes I would just like put my glass in my eyes and then raise up slightly just to see if I could see the tips of the horn. And I saw that his head was like turned in opposite direction. It was over here. So I knew he was standing. So what I assume happened is it's just like a little bit of my wind drifted down in there, just caused him enough to stand. And I just like stayed low. May have woke my brother up, who was sleeping with the video camera, and, you know, drew back low, you know, popped up and absolutely smashed him. You know what I mean? Like, and so it was just purely a game of patience with Mueller. So another area for us to grow. I'm a very impatient person, so it makes me grow in patience too. So it's good for me. It's like the chess game, the thought process, and then just working on patience has been good.
So yeah. That's awesome. So then how did you get into hunting elk? I mean, is that something you do every year, or you at least try to do every year?
Oh yeah, dude, it's not an option. It's worth it. It's not even a try. I ain't trying to hunt every year, man. I'm hunting every year for sure. So obviously, yeah, the South Dakota things, you know, we're doing the archery thing. South Dakota, it's a great thing here. So we know we're getting that tag. You know, just whatever system it is that, you know, any of us are doing right now with the current draw system with the rifle tag, however we're, you know, navigating that system to try to get a tag or two every year, depending on our options. And then I apply for most Western states. So I know South Dakota is not going to be enough for my dreams, ambitions, and goals of what I want to accomplish as a hunter and outdoorsman and adventurist. So I apply for, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, Idaho. You know, I'm putting in for those states. With the hopes of drawing a tag or two every single year, depending on the quality of the type of hunt I'm wanting to do. And that's everything from antelope, mule deer. The main ones, I guess, would be antelope, mule deer, elk, bighorn sheep, mountain goat, for all of those states, would be the main things. So,
yeah, no, I can totally agree with that. Yeah. But I'm kind of newer to playing that game, so I'm still navigating. I kind of screwed up this year a couple times, but it's confusing, man. It's a lot, man.
Like it really is a lot of information. And then there's like when you're navigating, like, okay, what states are, if you're getting in now, is it worth for me even to get in? Like, am I just chasing point creep? And there is states like that where it's not worth spending the $180 a year, you know, to buy the tag and try to get into it at this point. You know what I mean? Like a couple states I've debated on just dropping, you know what I mean? Like you just, is it worth a couple $100 every single year? It's that's a challenge, man. So learning that, but it's definitely learnable. And there's resources out there for us, obviously, to learn it, which is awesome. So, and then obviously we have some of the states that are easier, like New Mexico, where you never have to worry about points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're never behind. All you got to do is apply and you're out the license fee and you get all your money back when you don't draw.
Yeah.
So, and then there's states like that, Idaho, same thing. No, you know, you're not dealing with points. So at least you can put in like easier states. If you're new to the ball game, you can get in those states and not have to stress so much.
Yeah.
And then you can give yourself some opportunity to learn maybe, you know, some other states you can acquire some points in. And like, dude, like Colorado, for example, this is a great example for guys who like elk hunt. I'm not a big fan of the OTC elk hunts in Colorado. Like, I don't want to go hunt an over-the-counter unit in Colorado. I think it's just way too much competition of people. But there's units out there that take no points or 1 point, and you can draw, and there's limited tags and hunters in those units. And I think you can have a much better experience because of that. And it literally took no points. It's still a limited draw, but there's usually not as many people as there are tags every year. And mm-hmm. there's always leftover draw in Colorado typically too, that you can score an elk tag that are still limited units. So you're not having this unlimited influx of guys who want to just go hunt an OTC hunt because it's labeled OTC. I'm like, if I'm going to go pick up something in Colorado, like I'm going to buy a point or two and then go to at least a limited hunt that isn't just like unlimited amount of tags. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's just my theory on that. Everybody has their own, what they like to do. You know what I mean? But I just think there's some, you know, there's some decent opportunities out there for that. So
yeah, they are. I mean, well, I don't know how long those over the counter hunts are going to last though, because the number of hunters on the rise, I've been reading some reports and it's like, holy crap, man. Yeah. Those days are probably few and far between.
I think you're right. And then when you're looking at maybe the introduction of wolves in Colorado now too, it's probably going to wreak havoc. And I would guess that's going to be long gone in a short amount of time. But yeah, as well.
Yeah. So enjoy while you can, but just get out there.
Yep.
Number one thing, just get out there.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy it, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the seeker supplement deal that you're running now.
Yeah.
Would you have mostly just like pre-workouts, amino acids? How does that play into, I mean, is that stuff you run when you go on all those backcountry hunts or?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, play in?
Yeah. So, like our original product Seeker, I developed to have, it's in a 4 ounce bottle. So I have 30 servings packed into this 4 ounce bottle that can slide in like the side pouch of your bag. And so instead of like, I love single serve packets, but for me, like my biggest stress is I'll go out with like, and I'll pack, you know, 6 single serve packets for 6 day. Well, I have a day that a buddy bums one off of me. And then I have a day where I have 2, and all of a sudden I only pack 6 for my 6 day hunt, and I'm 2.5 days in and I'm out. And so I developed our Seeker, which is our mental focus hydration and energy blend supplement. So you're getting in the electrolytes, you're getting in the nootropics for brain food. I developed that to be, you can take all 30 servings with you all the time, only have, you know, this 4 ounce can, and you have 30 servings for your hunt right there. Or if you want to have 2, you could put, I mean, you can fit more servings in it. Obviously, if you had more than one container, you could put it all into one can. And not have to worry about, you don't have to ration. Like if you need more, if you're cramping up and you need more electrolytes and you need it, you can put a double scoop in your water bottle and not be like, crap, now I know I don't have any for day six. And so I made it that way so you could share with your buddies. You don't have to worry about running out. And you can pack along in a lot of it. So I don't know if a lot of people haven't told that to a lot of people. But that's like one of our actually strategic moves with how we develop that product for the hunter in mind. And so high-end electrolytes, most like sports drinks only have two electrolytes. We put all five in there. And so a much better blend of electrolytes. Have three flavors of that. We're actually out of stock on one right now, but I have a new one called Bighorn Blast coming here. It shipped yesterday, so it should be here next week. So I'm really excited about Bighorn Blast. It's really good, you guys. And then the amino acids, we didn't like come out with like a small container for that, but most like a lot of amino acid drinks are really low on their actual amino acid profile. And so if you compare labels of the amount of amino acids and the ratios we put into it to other products, you're going to be blown away. Like, it's a really good product. And it's not just like, if you know what BCAAs are, branched chain amino acids, a lot of amino acid products just have that. We actually have those, and then we have the full blend of other essential amino acids in there as well as a couple grams of glutamine for more recovery, gut health. And so I put a lot of thought into this stuff and development with this because we want good products. We want people to have good products. Like our protein, I make like no money on our protein because I choose to source my protein from USA cows that are grass fed. It's expensive. Like, it's expensive to get a hold of that. I could easily buy overseas Chinese protein for cheap, but like, I don't want that. I don't want my family to have that. And I don't want to drink it. So I'm not going to make it, and I'm not going to sell it. And so I buy a high end, high absorbing, high quality protein from USA grass-fed cows. And then I have my products made in the USA. I lose margin on it every time I say the word USA, but it's just, you know, a standard that we wanted to do. So our protein, very high quality, isolate, high absorption. It's a cold filtration. So like, it's not denatured. It's just really good. We just launched a fruity cereal flavor of that. Oh, this yeah? week. It's really good. If you're a cereal person, it's solid. Then we have a hot cocoa with marshmallow flavor. And then we have like a bomb pop, like the old pops you eat. We have that flavor as well. We're just having a lot of fun with it, man. Have a drinkable multivitamin that's like stellar good combination of what you need with your vitamins and minerals. And I made that specifically it's orange citrus. Dude, I got so sick of taking multivitamins with a pill. Like, I'm not taking them. Like, everybody buys them and they sit half empty in their medicine cabinet. You know, they don't even use them. So like, how can you optimize your health and have fun with it? Like, our supplements should be fun, and they should taste really good, and they should mix really well. And so those are like the three things that I really want to accomplish. Is I want my labels to be fun. You got them. I collect sports cards growing up. And so I want my labels to be like sports cards where it's like you grab them and it's different than the other ones. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. We don't always follow a suit with everything. We like to just customize, make them fun, make them bright. And that's really what we've been working on the whole time, you know, is just make them different and make everything stand out, collect them, have Easter eggs on a lot of them, that little special messages on a lot of them that are cool that I don't know if a lot of people see or not. I think a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. So that's pretty cool when you're getting a hold of those. And then they just taste really good. They mix really well. You throw them with ice water and it's like, it's key, man. They're awesome. So we've put a lot of work into it, man. We're really proud of what we've accomplished in the last 20 months.
Yeah, that's really cool. But I have to ask, so this idea for these high performance electrolytes, is there like a horror story that goes back to when you were backpacking and you were like super depleted or did this just come about because you knew it was an issue that needed to be addressed?
Thankfully, not for me. I've been in some rough shape packing out a couple. I've been on a couple rough packouts. I've never been like so depleted where I was like cramping up or anything. But I have stories of other guys who have been in such rough shape where they're like in fetal position puking because they're so like stomachs are so cramped up and they're so just like depleted. Luckily enough, I haven't gone through that. I've always been blessed enough to be able to fuel my body to continue on. But man, I tell you what, my first elk pack out, I mean, I was like, what am I doing right now? This is awful. It was hard, man. And every elk pack out typically is pretty hard, but it's a difficult time that is like very enjoyable when, you know, like right. You start thinking how many other people are enjoying this type of like this little bit of suffering. Like if it's not miserable, it's not memorable. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have a little misery for some memory. So I haven't been so like cramped up. So, I mean, I've been back to the truck after a long day and I can feel it in my hamstrings. Like, yeah, you're dehydrated, man. But yeah, thankfully not a horror story. Knock on wood again. I don't want that to happen. So
just out of curiosity, when was your first elk that you got?
So this one, actually, the one that's just like the skull cap right here back behind me. Is my first bull elk that I shot. I did shoot a cow elk out in the hills, the Black Hills, when I was in high school. This bull elk I shot in New Mexico with my bow at about 20 yards. That's the first episode we ever filmed.
Really?
So season one, episode one, and episode two. You can check those out, and you can laugh at the production of those. But it was fun, dude. We were new, and we were loving life and just doing what we were supposed to do. So yeah, I killed that bull about 20, 25 yards. And he took arrows like a champ. I shot him once and he stood there, and I shot him twice and he just spun around. I shot him a third time.
Jeez. Like,
just smashing him with arrows, man. So I didn't, we were back in really far. And that was down in New Mexico, and a couple mountains in, and he was back there about 400 yards from some private. And so every time I put an arrow through him and he wasn't down, I was like, I don't want him getting back in there. So yeah, that, and I shot him in the evening. And so that was a very long night out and a very long pack out, and it was rough, but it was awesome. And then I have a second bull that I shot out in the Black Hills. I drew my rifle tag a couple years after this one. He's actually upstairs, kind of in my entryway. And then I shot this bull a couple years ago with my bow down in New Mexico. The same unit as that one, actually. So yeah, I have three bulls, I believe. Three bulls. Two with my bow. One with a rifle. So that's no, awesome. Lied. I got another bull over here too. Sorry, four bulls. I shot another bull with my bow last year or the year before last year with my bow in the same New Mexico unit. So I've shot three bulls down in New Mexico with my bow, one bull with my rifle in South Dakota. So four bulls total.
Jeez. Talk about New Mexico. It's your bread and butter, I guess.
Legit, man. And now I can't draw it. I can't draw. I haven't drawn anything down there in 2 years now. I'm like all bummed out. I didn't draw last year. I didn't draw this year. I applied for everything down there and I struck out the last 2 years. So but I can't complain because I've drawn three bull tags down there.
Yeah.
And,
that's pretty impressive.
Odds are not to do that. So I'm expecting a little bit of a dry spell now. So I just,
I'm sure there will be
fun about it. Cause everybody makes fun of me because I draw so many New Mexico tags and now I've struck out a couple years in a row. So I probably deserve kind of equal the playing field.
Do you know if you're going on an elk hunt this year or not? Or do you know yet which unit, I guess?
Yeah. I haven't drawn anything yet. I have a buddy that's probably my dad killed his bull out in the hills last year. He killed a really nice bull. He drew his rifle tag. He's one of the top point holders for Custer State Park. I mean, he's got like 38 points or something like that, 37 points.
That's crazy.
But here's the thing, you run the stats on that and it's like your odds aren't hardly any better than somebody with like 5 points. Like there's just so many applications in there. So, I mean, I'd love to hope he draws, but it's still like, you know, you're a 0.004 chance of drawing that tag. I actually put in, my mom wanted to try to go out. And so I actually put in for her for a cow tag. She has no point. She's never applied or anything. So I'm hoping that she can maybe get lucky. And I know some of those units, you can pull a cow tag with no points.
Yep.
And she doesn't care. She's never going to go save 20 years of points and go into bull. And so, yeah, I'm hoping she draws a cow tag. At least she and I can take her out and have her shoot a cow. Yeah, I'm just hoping my wife or my brother gets lucky this year and pulls up. At this point, I haven't drawn anything. I do have an opportunity at a unit-wide landowner tag that my buddy picked up down in New Mexico. And that same unit is this. I need to decide this week if I'm going to buy it or not. I don't know if I want to buy it or not. It'd be a fun deal. It'd be more to promote. He's he acquired the how that works on there. If you're a guide, you can, you know, if you're have so much land, you get landowner tags that they can sell down there, but some of the tags are for just that piece of property only. And some of the tags are their landowner tag, but you can use them anywhere on.
Oh, okay.
You can still hunt public land, which all the good bulls are on. A lot of those good bulls are on public, you know? And so he has this smaller ranch that it's a little bit smaller of a ranch, so he's struggling to sell some of the hunts on it. And so, but it's a great ranch because it's got like this awesome water hole. It's only water in the whole area and all these bulls.
Oh, wow.
And his wife killed like a stellar bull down in there last year. And so he's like, dude, I need to film this so I can like show people like what the hunt is and like how, you know, how it can serve different types of people, whether if you're a handicap hunter, or you just want something where you like to sit water, how you can serve different people with this hunt. And so he asked me if I wanted to come down and archery hunt and sit over water hole with him and film it and shoot a bull. So I'm debating on it. Obviously it doesn't really feed my adventure side of what I like to do is hunting. I'm not huge on that. Cause I'm young, dude. I want to go pound the mountains a little bit, you know? So, but at the same time, I'm like, I didn't draw anything. I'm like, do I spend a little bit of money and go out on there and try to shoot a bull anyway and have fun? Like, it's still fun. And I get to see one of my best friends. And so that's part of hunting too. You know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be the roughest backcountry hunt to prove you're a big manly man. Like sometimes you just need to go hang out with a buddy, enjoy a few days and try to shoot something with a buddy. So I might do it here, but other than that, man, I'm just waiting for more tag draws to come out and hoping we draw. How about you? Are you, you got any plans this year?
Yeah. I obviously gonna do East West River archery and I have not done antelope, and I'm gonna try archery more just for experience spot and stock. Cause I'm really actually pretty new to the archery game. Yeah. This will be my second year with that actually. And then I've got two preference points for rifle antelope. Sweet. So I should draw that. Hopefully, I don't know. There was a lot of point creep last year, so
there was. It really climbed up last year, but I think with two, man, you're going to be sitting pretty good in most units, depending on what you apply for.
Yeah, so. I'm hoping so. My buddy also has a wedding opening day of rifle antelope, and I'm a little salty, but
that's his problem, man. I know.
Yeah,
who plans a wedding for the 1st of October?
That's exactly what I said.
Get out of here.
But then, so I put in throughout the West a little bit. But there is a tag in Utah. I think I should be able to get it's first come first serve tag.
Okay.
So fingers crossed it doesn't sell out in like 2 minutes, but we'll see how it goes. And that'll be for elk. And I actually found out Utah has some awesome, well, they obviously have great mule deer. And so there's a few units, several units that you can draw with like 1 to 2 points. Yes. So I got my first point this year, and next year, hopefully I'm hoping to do that. But
yeah, their general season, of their general season stuff, like, yeah, a couple points for non-residents in some areas, like great opportunity. I think I have like 3 or 4 and I should have used one up and did something. I'm not drawing anything this year. I wish I would have put in instead of just getting a point for that.
Yeah.
I put in for the limited draw, hoping I'd draw something there instead, but did not. But yeah, dude, like I think, I hope you draw that before me and then I can pick your brain on it. That'd be awesome. Cause yeah, I think there's some cool opportunity in that for guys to go hit the mountain in Utah. You don't get much more beautiful than Utah, man.
Yeah.
Some high country, beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'm stoked and it's just going to be fun to get out there, but, I'm really stoked to, do West River archery again this year. I'm going to spend some time and do several scouting trips out there and just see what I can find. And
good for you, man. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. Go explore some new country.
Absolutely. And then get my gear in shape for going out West. Cause it's going to need some work, but
test run it. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got a new Seek Outside pack.
Jealous. I don't know
if you heard of Seek Outside.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm going to buy one of their teepee tents this year, actually.
Oh yeah.
I drew a Montana General mule deer tag last month. And so I have like a single man tent that I use for some of my backpack hunts, but I always use that in the earlier season, like September, October, where I don't have to worry about warmth so much. And I'm going to be doing this Montana hunt in November is my plan. And I'm like, I'm going to need a stove.
I think I
might buy one of their tents with their stove system. It's kind of what I'm planning on, which is going to take a little bit of saving up because they're not cheap.
But, yeah, they're not cheap.
But they're sweet. And I think they serve a good purpose for what this hunt would be. And I need a buddy or two to go in and all together and we just share it or something. Cause they're pricey, man. Like,
yeah, they are, but I mean, it's worth it. It's high quality stuff like that pack. I am so impressed with.
Is it pretty rad? I haven't ever put on like one of their packs. Do you like it quite a bit?
Yeah, I do. I've, put some weight in it, just like my sleeping bag and just some other gear. And it was maybe, I think it was 25 pounds.
Nice.
And it feels great. Their system is fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. I haven't looked at their packs yet, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's the Lanner 5400 is the one I got.
That's a nice size too. Like that's it's not monstrous, but it's not dinky either. Like you could go hit 4 days
easy.
You could probably do it. Like you could go hit 3, 4, or 5 days if you want to pack really skimp with that. So that's awesome.
And there's some extra pockets on the outside that add about 1,000 on that.
Oh wow, dude. Oh, you could crush it then. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've put most of my gear. I was like, man, I got plenty of room for stuff.
Yeah, it's like, that's this is cool. Be great. Man. That's cool.
So I'm super excited about that. But Random question.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to Alaska, or do you want to go to Alaska?
Yeah, both. I have gone. I've gone once.
You have gone?
I went a few years ago. It's already been like probably 4 years ago, with my brother, my co-host Matt, and then one of my best friends, Justin, down in New Mexico, and his dad. We flew in to Ketchikan and then caught a float plane flight to Prince of Wales, and we hunted Sitka blacktail on Prince of Wales for a week. That was awesome, dude. Like, amazing experience. Highly suggest it. Like, we should get a group of South Dakota guys up together and do that. It's pretty inexpensive, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you can sign me up.
That'd be really yeah, dude. Yeah. And so, yeah, I want to go back. I want to go back and do that one again. I didn't kill a deer on that trip, so I want to go back and just do that anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really want to hunt. Like, top of my list, bucket list hunt is I want to shoot a doll sheep up there. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Love to do that someday. Save up to do that. I'd love to go, and I need to put in for the Kodiak mountain goat hunt at some point too. I just haven't had the time to do it. I knew I wouldn't have time to do it, but I need to put in for that and just save up and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely want to go experience more of Alaska. And once you do it once, man, you're like, I don't want to go back.
So, yeah. The caribou hunt is the one I think I just really want to do.
That too.
That's on top of my list for sure. I'm hoping sometime in the next 5 years it's going to happen.
There you go.
That's my goal, man.
Absolutely. Pro tip for everybody that wants to go to Alaska and save a little bit of money: go apply for an Alaska credit card. And you get the new deal, and you get, like, you know, they typically always have like a flight miles incentive. So you spend like $3,000 on it in the first 3 months. So pay your bills on it, get the flight miles for free. And then you're getting that's what I did. And then I got my flight. I paid for all my flight. And so
that's awesome. That's a great
flight miles from that. And yeah, exactly. Paid for my flight. And then they have once a year, they have like a companion fee for $122. So like one guy could get it, earn the flight miles, pay for his flight, and then his buddy could use that companion fee for $122, and your two guys are basically flying for the cost of $122.
That's awesome. That's a really good tip.
Like, little things like that. Like, guy, because that's the thing. Like, guys like us, like, I mean, usually it's money that's a problem with these things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like we have like big adventures have big price tags. Like, yep. A lot of the big, it's just the way it is. And so, how can we make things attainable for us? Like, little things like that, man, where you're saving $1,000 on flights, perfect. Like, it just takes a little bit of hacking the system, right? So
yep,
there you go.
Absolutely. I like that. I'm gonna use it.
Do it.
Well, man, I think we're coming up on quite a bit of time here.
I can't believe we've been rocking for over an hour, I think.
Oh yeah, we have. I didn't realize that.
That's awesome.
Doesn't surprise me, but yeah. Hey, if people want to check out more about what you're about and get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Most definitely. So all my social medias, Facebook, Instagram, all of those are just Run2Gun, R-U-N, the number 2-G-U-N. So check us out there. We have a ton of content that we're always throwing out. We have a podcast as well called the Live Beyond Average Podcast. That's a lot of life stuff. We do have hunting stuff in there as well. It's kind of a combination of everything. So you can check us out there. Trying to think what else we're doing. I mean, that's kind of the big thing. Our Seeker Supplement page on Instagram. You can go check us out there as well. But yeah, Run2Gun on anything. Basically, you're going to run into us on Facebook, Instagram. So
awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, man. For those
absolutely
listening, go check him out. He's obviously a very passionate guy.
I appreciate you, CJ, man. I'm glad we got to connect today.
Yeah, me too, man. We'll hope to do it again here soon.
Most definitely. We'll see you later.
All right. Thanks, man. And that is a wrap, folks. Once again, thanks for listening. I hope you all enjoyed it. Go over, check out Run2Gun on social and YouTube, subscribe to their channel, watch their TV show. One last thing before you go, though, I challenge all of you, go get out there, make yourself uncomfortable, make yourself suffer, improve yourself in whatever way you need to or want to. Tackle that challenge that has been daunting you that you don't think you can do. Just attempt it. If you fail, you can always try again. And it will only make you better, I promise. All right, that's all I've got for you today, folks. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, enjoy the weather and I guess make yourself suffer. But that seems like a bad way to end a podcast. But I guess make yourself suffer. All right, thanks, everybody.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.